The relatively sudden onset of the first round of budget cuts in 2013, the Air Force grounded 31 squadrons of aircraft for more than 3 months, deferred depot maintenance, slashed facility upkeep by half, and furloughed the vast majority of its civilian employees. A subsequent funding boost from Congress helped matters, officials say, but a year later, only half of the air units that were affected by sequestration have gotten back to the proficiency levels they had before those cuts kicked in. And General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says those levels were already too low.
The things that affect readiness are much more complex than just flying hour money each year. There are things like investment in training range space and in threat systems to train against on those ranges, on live virtual constructive simulation capabilities as we get more modern aircraft, where the only place you can recreate a real threat environment is in a simulator because you can't afford to do it in the real world. Those things have not been funded over the last 10 to 15 years because we have been tied up spending money on operations and supporting operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. It is time for us to get back to full spectrum training and readiness, and that's what's going to take us 10 years to rebuild those things that are behind the power curve, especially as we bring on an airplane like the F-35.
The Air Force's readiness recovery would take even longer if it goes back to sequestration level budget figures in 2016 and beyond, officials say. The budget submission DOD sent to Capitol Hill this month includes $7 billion for the Air Force under the White House's Opportunity, Growth, and Security Initiative, most of which would go toward readiness and modernization. If, as senior lawmakers have already predicted, Congress declines to approve that fund, officials say not only would readiness suffer, but the Air Force would also have to eliminate even more fleets of aircraft than it's already planning to, including the KC-10 refueling tanker. The service's top leadership told the House Armed Services Committee on Friday that the Air Force's readiness problems may have been masked by the types of wars it's been fighting for the past dozen years. In Iraq and Afghanistan, it was able to dominate the skies without a credible threat from other air forces. But Welsh says the Air Force's preparedness for a high-end fight with a capable adversary is much lower than it ought to be.
I'm not comfortable with our current state of readiness to be able to do anything. Right now, the United States Air Force's combat-coded squadrons are about 38% ready compared to our standard of fully combat ready. To me, that's unacceptable.
With or without sequestration, Air Force officials say it's clear that they are going to need to continue the process of shrinking the service, both in terms of personnel and in terms of airframes. While it can save some money through efficiencies and better management, Welsh says that won't cut it.
It's not going to be $12.8 billion a year, sir. It's just not going to be. And the only way we keep the Air Force safe and ready to react at whatever size we can be is by sizing ourselves to a size we can afford to keep that way, which means we must get smaller if the funding stays low.
Current plans call for a reduction of 20,000 airmen and about 500 aircraft. Those savings, the Air Force says, need to be plowed into making sure the remaining force is fully trained and ready to deploy at any given time. Deborah Lee James, the Secretary of the Air Force, says if it's not, the cost will likely be a greater number of casualties.
The thing that I worry about most, going back to sequester, has to do with the preparedness and the readiness of the airmen and the military at large. Because what all of us want is we want to make sure they have the training and the equipment so that they can do their job and stay safe if we send them into harm's way. And in some ways, I think our Air Force has done such a fabulous job over the last 25 years. We're the victim a little bit of our own success, because thank God we haven't lost that many people, and thank goodness there haven't been that many crashes and so forth and accidents, but there have been some. And I worry that if the monies get tighter and tighter and tighter, we may see more fatalities and more lost aircraft, and that's something that you can't capture until it happens, and I hope it doesn't happen.
The Air Force acknowledges it's already accepting some risk through the controversial budget decisions it's already announced, like the full divestment of the A-10 attack aircraft fleet, the relocation of missions from certain bases to others, and other cutbacks to existing platforms. Welsh says the Air Force is already unable to meet the requests of global combatant commanders, though, in several areas, most prominently intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance.
ISR, I believe, is clearly the first category that I would maintain capability in. We do not meet the combatant commander's requirements today, and as we divest more, we will not meet them by a wider margin. And then we have to be careful about divesting our fighter fleet too much, because we are at our requirement today. We are going to go 7 squadrons below our requirement with this budget. And anything further just puts us farther away from what we have agreed as a department is required to meet the standing war plans of our combatant commanders and their standing annual demand.
But Welsh cautioned members of Congress against reflexively protecting acquisition projects that happen to have an impact on their districts. He says the Air Force's budget was made up of nothing but bad options, and unless Congress changes the existing budget caps, restoring funding to one program is going to mean reduced readiness somewhere else.
Everything that we have in our modernization accounts we went through over this past year, we have cut about 50% of our planned modernization programs because of the impact of the sequester level funding over time. What we have done is funded the things that are absolutely required to make aircraft viable in the near to midterm against the threats that we know are there. Anything that is nice to have or should have is off the books for now. We will revisit this every year as we look at what the threat is doing and what we have to keep airplanes like the F-16 viable against the threat as it emerges. We simply don't have the money to do it all. This was a prioritization issue, not a desire.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.